Just past the old kitchen. Please pick yours up today. Also, please notice that next Sunday is our preschool Sunday. This is a wonderful opportunity to make our students and parents and teachers feel welcome and to feel part of what goes on here at Redeemer. So please come to look at the art show and speak to them and help them feel welcome next week when they are here. Jim.
I just have to say, first of all, we have an amazing congregation. I could sit down and that would be it. And that would be enough.
Okay, thank you.
But I will say that you all have been so gracious to support our Coral Scholars Program, and we appreciate that so very much. Just announcement that the tickets continue to be on sale at the church. I think most of you know how that works. I think I've got the date right this week. I think it's February 10th. So that's the night of the event. So good singing, Broadway music, screen music, film music. I think it's going to be a fascinating, wonderful evening. And again, we appreciate your ticket sales and your contributions as we continue this significant ministry of the church. Thank you all very much. Now that's it.
Sarah. Does she have a question?
Not one for everyone.
Okay. I don't have any questions there. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to us all.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. loving God. We confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own ways. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly. We have not spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have thought less of ourselves than we ought. Turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Amen. Even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. Hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Would the children please come forward? Good morning. You're late today. So, in a few minutes, we're going to hear a gospel story where Jesus goes and finds Peter and Andrew and James and John. And you know what they're doing when he finds them?
What?
They're fishing. You like to fish?
I've never been.
You've never been fishing. Well, they're fishing. And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, so what I wanted to show you is I got my hook and I got my string for catching people.
What?
Well, that's what Jesus says. I'll make you fish for people. So if Jesus wants us to fish for people, I'm ready to fish for people. There's only one problem. The pole. Well, fishing for people's different, so I didn't need a pole. I'm just going to rear back and throw it. I'm going to do it right out here in the middle of the aisle.
Okay, yay.
Well, look, are they in a swimming pool?
No.
No, so there you go. Well, now here's my problem. You're getting close to the problem here. I got my hook, but I don't have any bait. So my question for y'all is, do you think chicken would work? See, I was thinking if I put a piece of pizza on here and threw it down there. You think that would work? You think a shrimp would work on here? What if I put a $100 bill on here and threw it down there? Everybody would jump out there for it. So what would be the best bait I could throw out there on this hook?
$3 billion.
$3 billion.
$3 million.
Well, a billion's
no,
more.
Gold.
I put gold on here and throw it out there.
Shrimp. Crab.
I still like the pizza.
Yeah.
A bag of M&Ms. I could put a bag of M&Ms on here and throw it out there. You want me to put wine on here? Because we've been talking kids stuff, so since we're dealing with adults, you want me to put wine on here. I get it. You're right. I'm still thinking about the wine thing, though. I'm sorry. Well, you know what Jesus did? Jesus, when he asked those disciples, he didn't use a hook like this. He just said, come follow me. You know what kind of bait Jesus was using?
He used himself.
Himself, you're right. He used the love and grace of God and said, this is what I have to offer you, is this love and grace of God that's beyond anything you can imagine. Come follow me and learn more about that and be part of what God is doing right now. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. It's a person hook.
Well,
so you couldn't catch a fish with this. But it's a hook that would, see, I could grab you and I could grab you and I could grab everybody.
Wait, wait. Are you still, how are you going to put, like, if you're using yourself as bait, so you can just put yourself in there and put somebody in there?
Well, see, when Jesus was fishing for them, he didn't actually use one of these. He just said, come and follow me, and I'll show you all about God, and I'll teach you about God's love and about how God cares for us always.
Oh, it's so good.
His hook was love. That's right.
Are you going to actually go
no.
in the middle?
No, not now. No. Yeah, because y'all didn't bring pizza up here. I could throw out there. So, no. But that's what I want you to remember today is
fish
Jesus.
Bread.
I do have bread and wine on the altar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's a great point because when I use that bread and wine, I'm going to catch a whole bunch of people in here. They're going to come right up here. Right. And they're coming up here because they know that Jesus loves them. And that's what we're thinking about today. All right, I'm going to get out of this by having a prayer, okay? Pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for catching us. Thank you for sharing the news of God's amazing love with us every day. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
First lesson is a reading from Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second lesson is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Once there was this pastor who began his sermon one Sunday morning by saying, "I asked my wife to go through my sermon notes this morning and mark out everything that is uninteresting or irrelevant." He turned the page and said, "So in conclusion..." Well, the truth is, we make a pretty big deal about sermons in the church, don't we? We put them center stage in our worship. I spend a lot of time and effort preparing and working on them, and you put a lot of effort into enduring them. But I guess maybe it's worth it. I really like the story about the letter to the editor that appeared in a London newspaper. "Dear sir," the letter said, "I notice that ministers seem to set a great deal of importance on their sermons and spend a great deal of time in preparing them. I have been attending services quite regularly for the past 30 years, and during that time, if I estimate correctly, I have listened to no less than 3,000 sermons. But to my consternation, I discover that I cannot remember a single one of them. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent on something else." Well, the letter kicked up a big storm of responses for weeks. The pros and cons were argued back and forth until finally one letter ended the debate. "Dear sir," it said, "I have been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered that I cannot remember the menu of a single meal, and yet I receive nourishment from every one of them. And I have the distinct impression that without them I would have starved to death long ago." That says a lot, doesn't it? The sermons that we preach and hear are supposed to make a difference in our lives. My goodness, if we learn nothing else from the prophet Jonah, we ought to learn that. The events described in our Old Testament lesson from Jonah today are often overlooked and overshadowed by the more dramatic moments. It's hard to look past Jonah running away from God's call, or the storm that threatened the boat he was in, or the great fish that swallowed him whole. And then later we give a lot of attention to Jonah and how he didn't like the fact that God forgave the people he had preached to. But sandwiched there in the middle is the little passage we have today. Jonah went to Nineveh, and he moseyed a little way into the crowded streets, put down his soapbox, got up on top of it, mumbled something about destruction in 40 days, packed up his things, and walked out. Wasn't much of a sermon. But then the most amazing thing happened. Even though his heart wasn't in it, and even though he didn't put in a whole lot of effort, and even though he was there only because he had to be, the people of Nineveh listened, and the people of Nineveh heard. They repented and fasted and believed in God and prayed for deliverance, and sure enough, God delivered, changing his mind about the destruction he had planned. Now that was a sermon. 8 mumbled words and the whole city changed. But you see, the thing is this. Jonah had never been to preaching class. And he never read a book on sermon construction. And he didn't even have the standard 3 points in a poem. All Jonah did was what a sermon ought to do. All Jonah did was speak the words of God. God's word makes a difference. At least it did for the people of Nineveh. They heard Jonah's half-hearted cry against them, and it made a difference to them. And I guess that's maybe why we come to listen to sermons too. God's word makes a difference in our lives. We hear about God's love for us. We are reminded of God's blessings and grace. And we need that. God's word makes a difference. God's word also brings forgiveness and hope. That's exactly what it did for those people in Nineveh. They were convicted by Jonah's sermon and prayed for forgiveness. And when God granted it, they had a new beginning, a new start. They had hope. And again, I guess that's maybe why we come and listen to sermons as well. When God's word is faithfully preached, we are drawn to his forgiveness. We are made new. We can start again, and we are given hope. God's word brings forgiveness and hope. God's word also calls for a response. The people of Nineveh knew that. Jonah preached, and they knew they had to respond. They knew they had to change. God's word calls for a response in us too. We need to live differently. We need to act differently. We need to put others first and our own good last. We need to live like Christ lived. We need to love like Christ loved. So in conclusion, yes, the sermon by me is over. God's word lived in you now begins. Amen.
Thank you.
Gathered together as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O God, your mercy for us is so great and your love so overwhelmingly generous. Thank you, loving Father, for all the good things you give us, for our families, for health and home, for food and clothing, for meaning in our lives. Help us as we see so much of your goodness to know you more, and to respond to your gifts in love and service. Lord, in your mercy, living Lord, make your presence known and felt throughout our world. We live in troubled and difficult times for many. Renew us now in hope and strengthen our trust in your care for us all. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, make your healing manifest in our lives. Bless those who face illness or difficult problems. Be a comfort to those in pain, in sorrow, or who are lonely or afraid. Help those far from home or loved ones, those in danger, those who have no one and nowhere to turn. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, finally, O God, lead us in lives. In every moment, in every day, guide and direct us as your children. May we see your footsteps before us, and may we strive to walk in them always. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God, receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of glory, Hosanna in the highest, blessed
are you, O holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and light. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O morning star, fair and bright, you have refreshed us again with heavenly food. You are our dearest treasure. Go with us now, today, tomorrow, every day, that we tell the story of your never-ending love and sing your praise both now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
usually takes me about 15 or 20 minutes, so it won't be long. But I'm just letting you know, but, you know, you say opening prayer, just keep me in prayer, and I'll be right with you.
Keep it.
Okay.
Sometime. You won't know until you see it.